Hi again, everybody. It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. We'll be with you for the next hour here on Giants.com to take your calls, comments, and questions about the Giants and their game Sunday against the New England Patriots at MetLife Stadium. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in the program, is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You can also hit us up on the Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. He's at Howard Cross 87. I am at Giants WFAN. Howard, we kick it off with some news of the day. Tom Coughlin had his media briefing about an hour ago, and he told everybody that indeed Will Beatty will stay on the PUP list. He will be lost for the rest of the season. He needs rotator cuff surgery, and that has sidelined any potential comeback that the offensive lineman would have had this year.
Wow, that's a tough call for Beatty. You know, it's a tough break having to need that rotator cuff surgery. But, hey, best thing to do when you're a player is to get as healthy as possible so when you do step back on the field, you're at 100%.
Yeah, so the Giants now have to just move on from that and see where their current offensive linemen can get things done. Justin Pugh, yesterday, there was some talk about him being dehydrated, then maybe having to go for concussion tests. Well, the good news, Coach Coughlin told us this morning, it was only dehydration, according to the way they ruled it yesterday, and that Justin is feeling much, much better today and this morning, and so he does appear to be on track to be available for the New England game.
Yeah, it's been a few days, you know, coming down from playing in Tampa last week, you can lose a lot of water weight. It was warm down there, so and it doesn't.
He knows, folks. He knows.
It doesn't just go away instantly. if you really expend a lot of energy and out there on the field and like the way the practices and everything are laid out now, it takes a lot more time to recover than it just does.
Just so you're aware, folks, now Howard, of course, is on the sidelines during the game. I joined him there for the second half in Tampa on Sunday. But about 3 hours before kickoff, I was down on the field enjoying myself before we did the radio pregame show.
Enjoying yourself.
It was 90 degrees with a heat index of 102.
Yeah, but see, Howard was smart enough to hang out in the press box to the last possible second because I didn't want to melt down there. It was really warm.
That's because I got to work on my tan.
Oh, well, you did a good job. My tan is intact, so I don't want to be out there.
Very nice, Howard. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. And, again, it's the Giants and the Patriots Sunday here at MetLife Stadium. By the way, it is Military Appreciation Week, and the Giants, of course, last weekend were in Tampa. And one of the things that I got to be honest with you, Howard, was very impressive to me, at halftime when they inducted a whole slew of young folks into the military. They gave them the oath, and it was one of the most emotionally charged, for me, goose pimples kind of situation that I can ever remember seeing at halftime of any event.
Yeah, I was sitting down talking to my director out there, Dave Betancourt, who's also a Marine. And he was like, almost in tears watching everybody check in. To serve your country is something that, you know, I don't know how to put it into words, but it's something impressive. And when you do it, it's we can't say thanks enough. We can't say how much it means. It's really impressive. I have, you know, family members that are serving all around the world right now. So I know what it means for people to be out there. I know what it means to be a family member of someone out there. It's incredible.
Yeah, indeed, I do as well. So we never want the military folks around the world who do tune into the program, and we know that you do. We've gotten some calls and Twitters over the course of the years.
I hope you guys are
being
nice to me.
thank you so much for your service. We appreciate it. We know the NFL does a good job in recognizing all of you during the course of this week. And for the Giants to have a home game on Sunday, they will be recognizing the military on Sunday for this game against the Patriots. Let's get to the phone calls and see what you guys have to say about the ball game. AJ in South Carolina, you're first up. Hello.
I think the Giants' pass rush need to make Tom Brady uncomfortable.
Well, I appreciate the call, AJ. Howard, I think the Giants' pass rush certainly did get a little bit of a boost from JPP the other day. Played in over 40 snaps, over 70% of the Giants' defensive snaps. And although he himself admitted he was rusty and the things he's got to clean up, he was a positive impact.
Definitely a positive impact. I think what people don't realize, though, is that they keep thinking about the pass rush, the pass rush, the pass rush. He was in on some rundowns. He was in on some tackles. And that's something that you didn't really see. That was part of the reason they were able to shut down Martin, because he was in, like, the first few plays. And you're like, holy smokes, he he's playing against the run. I thought he was just going to come in and play, you know, third down situations or pass
downs. We never expected 40 snaps.
But they put him in the game doing run downs. When it was definitely a run situation, they put him in. He held his own, and I thought that was good.
Now, right now, they had him wearing in that game. It looked like almost like an oven mitt in the game. And JPP and Tom Coughlin have both said that they're going to modify that during the course of his practices and during his games to see what he feels most comfortable with. How did you feel he was able to use his right hand and his right arm?
Well, I don't want to speculate on his behalf, but the way I look at it, the way I view it, you have to think about how you're going to be able to clasp or grab.
Right.
If you're
missing. It did have a thumb.
Yeah, but if you're missing right here, if you're missing this joint or this right here, you need to be able to tie your hands together so you can actually make a cup and grab. If you start to take things off and try to split them up or anything, you may not have enough strength to make clasp or grab. And I think they'll work on it and figure it out. But I thought that, you know, I never really thought that they would do it that way. But that way may be one of the better ways for him to get around and make plays.
All right. Anyway, JPP promised us yesterday he would be better in game two, so we will certainly get a look at that against Tom Brady. Andre from Connecticut, you're next on the show. Hello.
How you guys doing?
Very well. How are you?
Yes, I had a question about the running backs. You guys watch a lot more games on tape than I do. I was wondering how you guys feel about having two running backs in the backfield, a guy like Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings. And the second question is, how do you feel about putting Shane Vereen in the slot, you know, trying to use those guys, and then now you can use more of Dakwa Williams as your more of your running backs in the game?
I think that when you think about the way NFL teams are set up and stuff, and this team is set up for a multiple tight end situation. Now they don't have the multiple tight end situation. Putting two backs in the backfield, you would need one of those backs to be a blocker. It doesn't really fool a defense by putting two backs in a game unless one of the backs is such a dynamic receiver that it kind of, causes a huge mismatch. You have to really think about when you're trying to, put personnel on the field, how to gain the biggest advantage or have the most productivity when you have those guys on the field, and being able to move them into multiple positions, multiple formations, that doesn't always happen with two backs. It happens a lot more with three wides, four wides. The Giants had several plays in the game that people didn't realize. They didn't have any backs in the game or tight ends. So I saw some of that going on in the game as well. So that's the thing you got to look at. They're using so many, McNeil's using so many different personnel settings to go with the formation settings. It's a little bit confusing, so you have to know who's playing.
What about Shane Vereen in the slot? You're saying that wouldn't be something that they'll look at doing?
I would say that your slot defender is usually your third cornerback. Your third cornerback can cover the back. Your back gains the advantage when he comes out of the backfield, and he's usually matched with a linebacker. And if a safety is trying to cover your back out of the backfield, the distance between where the back is in the backfield and where the safety is at the line of scrimmage or whatever gives the back an advantage again. The back's advantage is having space to operate in, not being close to the line of scrimmage.
All right,
thanks Andre. Mm-hmm. Now, perhaps one way you could effectively gain a matchup like that, though, Howard, is if they were in a regular standard-based defense and Vereen was in the backfield and then he went in motion and then wound up lining up outside. You could do that with him.
Yeah,
and we've seen that before on occasion.
But when you do that, the personnel that you have to bring in at that point, you have to bring in two tight ends to keep Vereen in the game as a focus of the run game. When you bring two tight ends in, that kind of signifies throughout the league that you're going to run the ball. When you're going to run the ball and then the back switches to outside or if the tight ends split to slot, then defenses have a hard time because they have a standard defense. The league's been specialized for years now. So you have run-down defense when you have two backs in the backfield, meaning a fullback and a running back, or a tight end and a running back, an extra tight end and a running back, that H-back kind of guy. That signifies to the defense, okay, they're predominantly run out of this personnel, so we're trying to figure out how to get the most people at the line to make them make a stop in the running game. If you start to put that same personnel, being a two tight ends and one back, or two backs, and you start to move them out to three wides formation, or you move them out to the 4-wide formation. You move them out to no back in the backfield, a 5-wide looking formation. That's when a defense that's set up to stop the run has a problem, because you got to run it. You have a linebacker in the game at that point who's playing between the tackles, whose main objective is to stop the run. You have a safety that's used to playing down up close to the line of scrimmage to help stop the run, and your outside guy is usually there to set the corner. So now you take it from setting the corner to, okay, I gotta play coverage.
Oh yeah.
And you take the middle guy, and he's like, he's not in the middle of the field now. I gotta play coverage. So when these guys start to have to play coverage, it's not they can't because they're in the NFL, but that's not their best moment.
Sure. It's interesting because most of the double tight end sets that you'll see, as Howard says, that's signifying basically a run game. Patriots very rarely do that. They love to go double tight end, and they're sending Gronk on a 25-yard seam pass.
Again, it's one of those things. You set two tight ends up, and you run the ball. Gronk, amongst everything that they talk about, you know, everybody wants a Gronk. Gronk is a phenomenal blocker.
Oh, he's very strong at the point of attack.
Guy.
He really is.
He can, you know, line up in a standard tight end position, take on a defensive end. He can take on a linebacker, and he can give him a really hard time. So
no question.
You know, he can set the corner or set the edge. So when he's doing that, if you think about it, if he's doing that, okay, you got to prepare. You got to put a guy, a body in to take him on in the run game. When he steps out, that body that was there to take him on the run game, now that guy's going to play coverage.
Not good.
That's where they gain their advantage right there. Yeah. I mean, and then the other tight end, he's coming in. He'll play in the backfield some. He'll play at the edge. He'll go all the way out wide. Yep. So, again, you're looking to take this guy on up the middle. You're looking to take this guy on the edge. And all of a sudden, he's not in the middle or the edge, but he's all the way outside. The guy who was taking him on, the guy who was protecting the run, the guy who was there, has to now play coverage. Playing coverage is not the greatest thing. Thick leg, tight hip guys aren't, you know, they're made to go forward and back. They're not made to make quick turns and stuff, and that's what they deal with.
All right, 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We got a whole bunch of Twitter comments I want to get to right away here because you guys are lighting up the internet. Are you dog, says Victor Cruz, is next to go on IR. Snake bit. The only update I can give you on Cruz is at practice yesterday, he did have the pads on, the upper gear, as everybody did at practice yesterday, and the Giants have said they're going to try to wean him back in slowly, doing little things here and there at practice to see if they can get him going. Clearly, he himself has said he won't be any chance of coming back till after the bye week. Remember, that's next week. Giants have the Patriots on Sunday, a bye, then the Redskins. So don't even think about him until then.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The calf injury is like any other injury. If it's a hamstring, if it's a quad or growing, when you have an injury, you have an injury. So in this case, if you don't use that muscle for a while, that muscle might start to feel good. So he has to figure out, can he be explosive again off of that injury?
Yeah.
And if he can, if it's not fatigued or tired, he'll be on a pitch count. That's just all you can do with him because there's no practice. There's no hitting. There's no full speed moments that they're going through between now and then that's going to get him there. They're just not. I mean, even if it was in the old days when we practiced all the time, there would not be enough full speed moments between today and the bye to get him at full speed to go. You just can't simulate the moment of full speed football. You can't. You can't do it in any sport, actually. You just can't.
We'll say one thing, Howard. I don't know if it used to make a difference a lot of times to players when they would come back from lower body or leg injuries, if they would come back on a grass game or an artificial turf game. Is that still much the case anymore?
No, it's not really. I mean,
because the artificial turfs are better than they used to be.
The pounding on your knee is what you're referring to. Lower body injuries are muscular and joints. All right. So if it's muscular, you pull a hamstring, it doesn't matter what you're running on. Yeah, you can run on the asphalt. It doesn't matter. Just as long as you're getting your speed up, it's that kicking in, the firing of that muscle that you're worried about. When it's your joint, then you're worried about how many times you grind and pound and boom, boom, boom. You need a surface that's absorbing your pounding of your body. That's what you're looking at. So it's two different things. I mean, I'm not, you know, that's as technical as I can be in a medical sense.
I got you.
You know, my
that's
doctor's degree is at home in my you know, when you pull the you know, the funny bone out of with the guy
with those
the
tweezers.
Red nose. Yeah,
I remember.
That's my That's it. Operations.
Operation. There you go. We have Zach Brennan says, can Big Blue do anything to have any better options to bolster their defensive front seven? Well, JPP came back last week, and I'd say he helps.
I think that, again, every week we keep hearing about what else can we do, what else can we do. Unless a team goes out of business and they release all their players.
And just give you their guys?
Yeah, just give you your guys. Hey, look, we're going out of business. We're not going to play anymore.
You are now.
You can pick the guys you want off our team. We're having a fire sale. And that doesn't happen. Sometimes in baseball it happens. The trade deadline happened in football. Not a lot really went on. Some teams try to have a quote-unquote fire sale. Again, not a lot goes on. That's just not the way this league is designed, not the way this league is set up. You kind of build through the draft. You build through a little bit of free agency, and then you play your season. And you hope, and I do mean hope, that your guys stay healthy enough to play. And sometimes you're thinking, hey, we're going to have a great, great defensive year. Sometimes you think we're going to have a great, great offensive year. Some teams think we're going to have a great season because we have a great team together. There are fewer of those teams in the league than you think.
And remember, the trading deadline has already passed. Yeah. So even if there was somebody out there that they may have been interested in, it's too late now. I mean, it's done. Trade deadline's over.
Everybody's always watching. Everybody's always trying to figure it out.
George DeJesus says, if we have a couple of players that we could use, I guess, to replace Beedy. Beedy's not an issue at all anymore anyway because he was already on PUP. Yeah. But he says we have to give them all the motivation and strength to go. I think the only thing that the Giants need to worry about right now with that offensive line, now it appears that Pugh's in the clear, at least we think so. They're practicing now, Howard. We don't know exactly what's going on. We assume, based on Coach Coughlin's comments, he's probably out there, but we don't know for sure.
I'd be more worried about, Schwartz.
And then Schwartz's ankle continues to be an issue.
I'd be more worried about Schwartz than either. I think that everybody else is kind of where they're going to be and what's happening. I think that, Schwartz had a horrific ankle injury last year, a dislocation or something,
right.
something crazy like that, something I don't even know what that even entails. So he's playing on that joint this year. And, I mean, he's a spelt, 330?
He's a big man.
He's a big man. So moving around with that kind of weight on that joint and taking on another big man hitting you, that's a lot of work. That would be the most of the injuries I'd worry about right now. Everybody else, hey, strap it up, let's go.
All right, fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free. Let's go back to the callers, and Jeff from New Hampshire, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
Very good.
Hey, I apologize if you already mentioned this. I tuned in late. I didn't hear the opening of the show. Have the Giants made a decision on Beedy yet? And if not, what's the deadline? I know it's today, but is there a time range, or when do they have to make a decision?
Tom Coughlin told us this morning he is going to remain on PUP. He is going to have surgery on a rotator cuff injury that apparently has been nagging him for a while, but they thought he could get through it. And as he was rehabbing off of the pec, they determined that this is the way it's going to be. So as a result, Will Beedy will not be playing for the Giants this season.
Okay, yeah, I definitely didn't hear that at the beginning. So I guess that answers my question about Fava using him as like a jumbo tight end. I guess that's out the window.
It is.
I heard you mention Pugh. Did he pass the concussion protocol? Do we know that yet?
They determined that it was more dehydration than a concussion. Tom Coughlin said he was feeling much, much better this morning. And, again, they're practicing now. We don't have access. We don't have a window out to the practice field. So I don't know if he's out there, but it sounded promising.
We're in the middle of the building.
That would be really hard to do, wouldn't it?
That
would have to go through like five walls, wouldn't
it? It'd be like a shot.
Yeah. Anyway, so I would say be optimistic about Pugh. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that sounds – if it's not concussion, that sounds good. It's still a few days away from the game, so that's promising at least. Very good. And one other just injury question. Have we heard anything about Prince, or what do we know about his status right now?
Prince was also in warm-up gear yesterday, and he was doing some things on a limited basis. The best projection for him is after the bye week when they play the Redskins. There's an outside chance, but I don't think it's likely that they get him ready for Sunday.
That's what I was kind of hoping. I live in New England. There's no team I'd rather beat than the Patriots, but I'd rather win this division than risk a long, give him the 2 extra weeks, get him healthy, get him down there for the home stretch, the last part of the season. I this game, as much as I'd love to win it, it's not. I'd rather get through it without any more major injuries than anything else, and be healthy for that home stretch, because it's going to be a tough last six games. Don't be fighting for the division. Don't risk bringing him back early, in my opinion.
Jeff, I'm sure Coach Coughlin agrees with you.
He sounds like every other Beautiful. Coach in the league right now. They don't want anybody to get hurt. But
thank you.
It.
Appreciate Thanks. The call.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We got more calls. One quick one, though, before we go to Rick in Tampa, Howard. Bobby Hart, the rookie from Florida State, mm-hmm. who showed some nice things in the preseason, and especially as the preseason progressed.
Okay.
Curious as to your opinion of him as a potential option to help the offensive line at all, or do you think it's too much to ask of him?
I don't know if it's too much to ask of him, but you got to understand that right now everybody's kind of in their position. So you're not asking them to step up and step into the spot. If Schwartz goes down, you know, that's where his opportunity will come to step into the next – he'll be the next guy in line.
What would you think, John Jerry?
I think John Jerry's going to stay in the spot. I think it'll be Jerry and you know, he'll move over to guard probably, and you'll keep it that way. You'll move Jerry in. But the fifth line, the sixth lineman,
right.
I think that's where he'll be. I think that's where his – You know, for hopefully that's where they'll put him. But, you know, maybe he's known enough that he's been kind of on the tip of their tongue, and they want to get him in there and let us see what happens. But right now the offensive line's playing so well, and I know that's kind of hard to believe after we were doomsayers in the beginning of the season, but they're playing so well that you don't want to upset the apple cart too much. You want to keep the guys that are ready to go and get them in there. You want to inspire them to play, so the next man up is really waiting to be the next man up.
Eli had 40 pass attempts in Tampa and was only hit twice, no sacks.
That, you know, I will take that for the rest of the season.
Rick in Tampa, by the way, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, hey guys, you have a problem with my 90 degrees and humidity last week?
I love it, baby. Come on, bring it up here.
God.
Ship it
I know.
FedEx.
Listen, it's beautiful.
I'm an XXL guy, so I'm gonna tell you, it was a little chapey.
No, I don't know how they guys practice down here. I've lived here. I'm from up there, so I've lived here 8 years, and I don't know how any teams can practice and play in this temperatures. And we've had it's still hot here. I mean, it's just breaking now, but I'd rather have the cooler. It should be cooler, but it wasn't. But hey, we'll take it. And all the snowbirds are loving it. So, hey, I got three quick things. This game, like a lot of callers are saying, when we come back after the break, we'll have a bunch of new players, it seems. So, back from injury, which will be good. But, I mean, this kid, I'm hoping this doesn't get ugly real quick and get down by 20 points or something like that. But with that said, real quick, the kickoff, winning the toss, if we win the toss, what do you think? Would we receive or would we let them have it first?
I think most teams in the league today are giving the ball up because they want the ball starting the third quarter. They just want more opportunities to score. They believe they get out and get their deep. Even if they score first, whatever, they want the ball at the start of the third quarter. And if they can hold them to a close score, then they come out and score in the third quarter, then they have the lead.
Right.
Most teams' philosophy, it goes back and forth. It depends on the team.
Even,
but most
new, even with New England,
yeah.
I mean, how quickly they could score, you would think it would do the defer, we would defer?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've deferred
right.
almost everybody.
Okay. Tom's right. been doing all that right. this year.
I mean, that's just
– Yeah, he is doing that. I know against New England would you do it because they score so quickly and you don't want to go behind them.
I mean,
if you play it with the game in the lead, it's a lot different game against Tom Brady.
But think about this. You get the three and out like you kind of did in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden
yeah.
you go down and score. It doesn't stop them from scoring. If you get the ball first and score and they come down and score, your defense is still tasked with the job of trying to slow the Patriots down, trying to find
right.
a stop somewhere in there, maybe get a turnover. That's what you're looking for from your defense is to keep guys under control. Hey, it might be a shootout. It might be a 40-40
game
or something, but
right.
you want your defense to have as many opportunities as possible. Put them on the field early.
Right.
Try to get them to get their scripted plays out of the way so you can kind of see what they're doing and what they're trying to do
right.
to you. And if you can stop them in that series, the next series you go on again.
Okay. All right. And question two regarding Shane Vereen, now that he's with the Patriots, what does he bring anything to the table of – I mean, we know with this team. We've played him so many times. Mm-hmm. But every – Belichick's pretty crafty. Is he going to be able to give a little insight to how to attack them maybe that we don't know, or is it totally changing and Belichick is too smart to allow
no, it's not really
similar plays?
it's not really Belichick. You got to remember something, that the league as a whole does this. They have this thing called tendencies. They keep track of every play they run, every scenario, first and 10, second and whatever, wherever they are on the field. They track their tendencies, and they try to play out of their tendencies as much as possible. Even in the run game, if a team runs off tackle right, it's a predominant run, it's very successful, the entire league knows that, so they load up that side to protect them from running that way. So teams, from a defensive and offensive standpoint, they try to break tendencies constantly. So a player that was on a team the year before, unless he left the team that week, and came over, it's a little hard for them to, like, you know, predict the tendencies of another team because they just constantly are changing. And they know that they're changing. Like, a great example would be, you know, Sean Payton. Payton changed things almost every week, and it's very hard to play against guys like that.
Okay. All right. So, but, all right, that's good. That was good insight for that. Thanks. The other thing is that Beeson, I loved him when he was on the field, and it just seems like it's it for him with his Giant and everything. His injuries, he just continually pop up. His replacement is going to be who? On this team going for the next 9 games down the road, who is going to be the leader? Is it that young guy who played last week? Or I don't see it as some of these other guys that we've had. Who do you think?
I don't know about
it's important.
I don't know about the leader aspect, but Anga's going to be playing some at middle backer. Brinkley will be playing some at middle backer. Casillas could be in there from time to time. So you have 3 or 4 guys that can play. Not to leave out what's my man from Boston College.
Well, they would love to see JT Thomas play some, but he's out with an ankle injury.
Well, he'll be back. You got to give him a couple of weeks. He'll be back as well. So you got a lot of guys that are going to be playing that spot. Beeson will definitely be missed. Great player. Big inspirational guy, but you got to have, you know, no offense to John or anybody in the league, got to have healthy bodies. Your best ability is available.
Yeah.
You got to be on the field. So if you get guys on the field to play, it's not really who's going to play, but can you have them healthy enough to play a long period of time? And that's what the last games of the season, it's going to be important to try to have some consistency with the body itself in the game.
Rick, I want to give you a couple of numbers before you go, because we're going to let you go. But remember what Howard was talking about a minute ago?
Tendencies.
Tendencies? Mm-hmm. The NFL has something called a play propensity report, and it tells you the direction of every play, every run, and every pass that a team uses. I have access to it as a credentialed media member. The Patriots, just so you watch when you watch the game, according to their direction report, 60 of their running plays have gone up the middle, which is by far the most of runs of any area on their entire line. Their next favorite place to go is behind right guard, only 29 runs. So clearly they love to run behind center. Again, Howard will tell you, now it's like, well, you think we like to run behind center? We're going left this time.
It also depends on, you got 60 plays running up the middle. Think about this. They have been playing how many games this season? They're 8-0.
9 or 10 or
whatever.
They're
8-0. There are only 60 plays up the middle, so it's kind of crazy.
But anyway, and then in passing the ball, they have their most pass plays to the short left part of the field, 136 attempts there. No other place is more than 75, which is the short right side of the field. So there has been, despite the fact that Brady's a right-handed quarterback, a strong reference to the left side of the field.
Well, he's got short players all over the field, so I don't know what you mean by short side. Oh, you mean I get you. I'm just joking. Yeah, it's just that's good for him. I have no idea. I mean, again, it's not where he's throwing it, who he's throwing it to is probably the big thing there.
All right, let's go back to the calls. We have Mike in California. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, so tough news this morning for me. You know, I was really looking forward to getting Beatty back. So, you know, was kind of looking forward to end of year push with a healthy Beeson and Beatty, and I was thinking in at right tackle. So obviously, neither one of those things are going to happen this year. So, you know, trying to stay positive, but that was tough for me. Obviously, tougher for Beatty, but tough for me. tough for me too. So I'm glad you brought up Bobby Hart. And, you know, I checked. I've been kind of keeping an eye on him. and looks like zero snaps so far this year. And one of the reasons why I've been, you know, kind of keeping track of him is that when I watch our offense, you know, we really try to get rid of the ball quickly, and a lot of Eli's decision making is happening, you know, pre-snap, and then he's going to these quick slant routes. And I think that's partly why our offensive line, especially the right side, doesn't look worse. And one thing I really like about Ereck Flowers is that when I see him get beaten, I don't see him get beaten cleanly. I see him chasing a guy, trying to get his hands on him, trying to push him, you know, past Eli. But when I see Marshall Newhouse get beaten a bunch of times, like, it's like a turnstile. Like, whoops, guy's gone. You know, I don't see that same movement and that kind of continuation where he's still trying to get his hands on the guy. So, you know, I was really hoping to see somebody else getting snaps there. So I'm glad you talked about Bobby. But
I would say this, as you're making those observations, we threw the ball 40 times last week, two pressures, two actual contacts on Eli, 40 times. So, again, it's game to game, player to player. You're having a good year offensive line-wise. And I know that you're picking on the most negative plays when it happens, but they're having a pretty good year. I mean, you got to look at what you're getting. The way the offense is designed is a quick release. You get the ball in out of your hands as quickly as possible. That has nothing to do with the offensive line play. That's just the design of the offense. So right now, I wouldn't change a whole lot. You don't want to, like I said, upset the apple cart. Everybody wants a little bit more. Play with what you got. You know, have a couple guys waiting to get in, but definitely play with what you got. You're doing okay.
And just to
I know what you're saying.
Just to be accurate, Bobby Hart has been in on two snaps this year. They were both running plays.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know. So you know, and Howard, I hear what you're saying, and one thing I loved about the great years of our offensive line is like these guys played together and they stayed healthy for kind of a couple seasons at a time. And well, you just saw, relatively unheralded players able to just dominate. And so I know what you're saying, but I also look at, the Eagles game, and I also, when I think about an NFL offense and defense, I think, like, the more things you can do well, the more that the defense has to account for. And so if you can, that it's one thing about the Jets, the quarterback can't throw long. So you know that when you go up against, like, a Belichick, he's going to just give you that. He's going to bring his safeties down, and he's going to make it much harder to do what you do well. And that's what worries me about this Giants offense is I know we're designed for the quick release, but the fact that we're not able to have enough time to run some of our guys on these longer routes frequently, I think makes it a heck of a lot easier for somebody like Belichick. But so one other question for you. I'm sorry, I'll wait. Go ahead.
You have to think about this. I think that most teams throw the ball deep maybe four or five times. I don't think that you're seeing balls in the air 40 yards 8 to 10 times a game. And if you are seeing that, that just means they're just chunking it up. It's not Baylor versus Oklahoma State. It's NFL football. To throw it, the longer the ball's in the air, the more bad things happen. So you have to, take that into consideration. There's one A.J. Green in the league. There's one Julio Jones in the league. There's one Odell Beckham in the league. The longer that ball's in the air, things happen. Safeties all of a sudden recognize that the ball's in the air. It's never in the air with a quick hit. The ball's usually floated in the air for those long passes, those 40-yard drops, dropping the buckets, as they say. Bad things happen. I mean, just remember, bad things happen on those long passes. So if that's what you want to see, that's a great thing. I understand it, but not a positive thing when it's always. You throw the ball deep. Usually you throw the ball deep just to keep the defense honest. When you make a big play off of it, it's great. But you don't throw the ball deep as part of your offense because that's what we're going deep on these guys. We're going to get guys down the field. We're going to stretch it out. That usually means you're getting beat a lot.
Yes. Thank you so much for the call.
I hear you, but I do want to see them give Odell a little more space, and that means we got to push him on. So quick question. I know you give me a lot of time. So just right now I don't think we have a defensive tackle that really scares anybody, but I know that Big Barry Cofield is still out there, and supposedly he's healthy. I know we got a lot of money left over that we're not paying JPP. So trade deadline's over, but have you guys heard anything about Barry, and what do you think about giving him a look?
Can I ask you a question? Like I always ask people this, but I know you're off the air. I'm going to ask you a question. You remember this. He is on the market because no one picked him up. I think that people kind of missed that thing. I love Barry. Barry's a buddy. I love Barry to death. But when you're out of the game, you're out of the game. We made reference to it last week. It was a kind of a funny joke, but
yes, sir.
It is what it is. You're on a giant cruise ship. It's called the NFL. Once you fall off the ship, the boat gets smaller and smaller the longer you're in the water. You want to get back on the boat. You want people to throw lifelines and try to bring you back in, but the boat just keeps moving. And guys in the entire league as a whole, they'll go back and revisit a guy. They'll talk to a guy. But if a guy isn't out there and no one's hitting on him, that boat's coming. The ship's sailing. That's just it. And Barry, you know, hopefully he'll get another shot next year. Maybe somebody will call him up this year. But he's out there for a reason.
All right, fans, remember Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. More Twitter remarks, Howard.
Okay.
We have at Tag Rocket says, do we have another fullback? If so, we could use Whitlock exclusively on the D-line and maybe take snaps away from Moore or JPP.
Use Whitlock? Listen, guys, I mean, there's always – great combination.
The little guy's got a lot of fans.
The little guy's got a lot of fans, and the little guy gets some pressure, too. I think he might be able to get in there in some combinations with some other guys, but you got to have guys that demand attention in order for that to work. I mean, right now, Whitlock was super effective when he came in the game and no one knew about him. Now that people are looking for him, you know, it's a little tougher to do all that stuff.
Ben Gruen. It's at Gruen Ben says, Giants make Kennard the permanent middle linebacker after the bye, and for the future, that's what he wants to do. He says, take the linebacker with the best upside and skill because you can't play without a middle linebacker.
That is true, and I will say this about Kennard, great player. I think he's going to be pretty good. Got to keep him on the field, though. We got to keep him on the field. He'll have a week or two where he's out, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, if you put all your eggs in one basket and that guy can't play, then you're going to have to fight with it. It's part of it.
All right, so let's see here. One other comment from Tag Rocket, who gets back to us a second time, and I think it's a relevant comment. He says the relatively young and out-of-position front line, he's talking about the offensive line for the Patriots, which has been jumbled a lot during the course of this season. He says, should we stunt the D-line to try to confuse them?
You can do whatever you want to. Just so you guys know, we have a special guy, number 10, playing quarterback. Guy's good. Takes a lot of heat, gets hit a lot, doesn't care what's going on. He kind of mild-mannered, plays every game. You got another guy on the other side. I don't even know what his number is, 12?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. He calling dudes out of the stands to play. Hey, yo, what are you doing today, Paul? You want to play catching balls? Come on in. I mean, this guy's pretty good. So you can jumble, blitz, stunt. You do a lot of stuff to him. He's still going to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good. Jay from Washington, D.C., you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Howard. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Well.
Pretty good.
Hey, listen, I just got three quick things that I wanted to say. First, I'm very excited about the game. You know, a lot of Giants fans seem real shaky with the fact that we're playing the Patriots. I just want to let them know we have a history of beating teams that's undefeated. Just FYI. But my second question is, as far as – I know you said JT Thomas is out, but who, as far as coverage-wise, do you think would be checking Gronkowski?
Well, let me just clarify. JT Thomas had been out last week with a sprained ankle. At this moment, I don't know if he's out there on the practice field today or not.
Okay.
So I don't want you to assume he's out this week yet. Please don't do that. I don't know.
Let me help you with the other part about the Gronkowski thing. When you find out somebody who can cover him, please send him a letter. Let him know when the Giants will sign him. Gronk is a different person. I mean, he's not the most athletic guy in my view, but he's just a big body who loves playing ball, and it's just a mismatch. I mean, you can send anybody at him you want. It just he's Gronk. I mean, it just that's some things in life you have to accept. Like, okay, I got it. I mean, that's what it is.
What did his parents feed him?
Whatever he wanted. He's got a whole family of them.
Yeah, and I hope that JT Thomas is active, for the game. It reminded me of Antonio Pierce back when we first played, and he did a very decent job. You know, no linebacker can really cover a good tight end, in my opinion. So I just hope JT Thomas is out there because he's our fastest coverage linebacker. And my last thing is, you know, I've always been a big fan of not putting Larry Donnell in the game, believe it or not. Uh-huh. I believe he's a prone mistake tight end. I love Will Ty. I just think he's more stout. I feel Larry Donnell reminds me of Travis Beckham, a tight end that we had a couple years ago, a kind of H-back package type guy. What do you think, Paul?
When did Travis Beckham catch 60-plus passes in a season?
I think you got
You know, Travis Beckham, he got hurt. He was also hurt. I think he had a ankle injury.
I think Larry Donnell is getting a bad end of the stick here. 60 passes as a tight end.
I mean, four fumbles, though, too, Howie. You know, he fumbled pretty much
you,
in any
will,
much tight end.
I will take 60 receptions every year and the four fumbles. I'll take 60 receptions over and over again. There are about five tight ends in the league to catch that many passes. Five out of 32 teams. Most teams have two tight ends. That's 64 guys and not – there's five guys catching around 60 passes. Five. So what you're saying is you give up the production because of the four mistakes. You'd rather not have the production. And I hear that a lot. And, I mean, I don't care what team Donnell plays for, they're going to take the 60 catches. They just are.
I don't know. We lost the Jacksonville game because of his fumble. You know,
and
we had the game.
You won the Washington
and,
Redskins because
you know,
of his catches. And you won so many games because of his catches. I tell you like I tell my son. Remember this. This is a little different in this situation, but I'll tell you the same thing. What do you get when you're 300 out of 1,000? What's the percentage? 30%. What do you actually get when you're 300 out of 1,000? Do you know? About $20 million a year. Because that's what a baseball player does. So, you know, you got to focus on the good parts of it and leave that bad stuff alone. I'm going to take the $20 million a year for the good parts.
That's what you're looking at.
You got to let that go.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Howard.
All right, 201-939-4513 is our number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross.
I'm educating
you.
Paul, baby.
Till the top of the hour. Howard's having a good time today. You're really in a good mood today, more so than usual.
I just need people to ask questions. Like, I got to help them.
This is what happens when the Giants win on Sunday. Howard,
I'm like this all the time.
Let me point out one thing to you that
okay.
I remember. And it was the first time that I remember any coach doing this to a pass-receiving-oriented tight end.
Okay.
The Giants had Jeremy Shockey.
Okay.
They played the Cowboys.
All right.
And Parcells put his nickel corner on him.
Okay.
Which had been, at that point, the first time I remembered seeing that. And even I remembered people making a big deal out of it. Like, look at what Parcells is doing to Shockey. He's putting a nickel corner on
him. How did it work?
Well, so-so. So-so. Of course, Shockey is not the beast or the physical specimen.
I can tell everybody in the league how to stop Gronk. You put a guy right in front of him, and every time he leaves for 5 yards, that guy rides him. He lets him go and let another guy pick him up in the secondary. That guy that rode him for the 5 yards, let him go play defense somewhere else. But the guy, the second guy, is the guy who's got to be responsible for him. But if he has to run through a guy every time he takes off, he's not going to be effective.
Okay.
He won't be around. But that just means you got to dedicate two guys to him for the rest of the game. So
A lot of coordinators don't want to do that.
Nobody wants to do that, but that's how you stop him. If you're willing to do it, you can put two guys on him. That first guy rides him for 5 yards. He's pretty much out of the play. That second guy, if he gets past the 5 yards, you let the second guy play with him.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, it's simple. I don't know what you're going to do with the other nine guys you're playing with those two guys. That's what you do.
You got and truthfully, Howard's right in one regard for sure. Any coordinator, if he wants to commit the resources to just say, hey, we're going to take care of this guy, he could do that.
Yeah,
the question is, do you want to commit the resources?
All you have to do is look at Megatron. When Megatron was healthy, when he was out in Detroit, he was healthy. They committed two, sometimes three guys.
Yeah.
And if you think this guy is that big of an effect against your defense, you commit the guy. So somebody else can beat us. he can't beat us.
Of course, the problem is Brady will find the other matchup.
There are all these other little – the minions. The minions get you. It's kind of like it's Gronk and the minions. The minions will get you. The minions are everywhere on the field. You got to be careful with those minions, man.
I can't believe you just equated the Patriots to minions.
The receivers,
okay.
The little minions.
I got you.
Know those little guys.
Edelman and company.
Oh, yeah, those little guys, man.
Alex from Bergen Field, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul and Howard, how you guys doing?
Very good.
All right, good afternoon. Just two quick points. Well, first I want to say, you know, go Big Blue. I'm trying to go to the game on Sunday. It's a big matchup, you know what I'm saying? I think that for the personnel we have, we've had a good season this year. And just two quick points. I may be nitpicking, but one is that I think the wide receiver, the rookie, Jeremy Davis, okay. I think that he deserves to get, like, a little shot, like maybe on, like, four wide receiver sets. Or maybe, like, I seen when Harris got injured, okay. They put in the kid Miles White. And I just think that maybe Jeremy Davis deserves a little better shot. I saw him in preseason. He played pretty good. You know, the knock on him was that he catches the ball with his body, but he catches the ball. Mm-hmm. And he had a big catch, I think, in the San Francisco game for a first down on the winning drive. Right. And then my second point is, and I'll just, you know, I'm here, you guys, is I want to know how is the guy Hughes. I think he's one of the defensive tackle. I want to know how is he. Is he pretty good? And, you know, could he fill in a little bit for Hankins? Thank you.
All right. I'm going to let you go on Hughes.
All right. He is a former Colt who has had limited experience. He's one of those, quote, veterans who still qualifies for the practice squad. And that's why the Giants were able to get him onto the practice squad a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. He had been there for a while, mm-hmm. and that's why one of the reasons why when Jonathan Hankins went down with the torn pec for injury reserve the other day, mm-hmm. they elevated him because he's been here. Mm-hmm. And at least he understands what it is that they're trying to do. A lot of times you want to do that simply because the guy who's here knows what's going on, as opposed to a guy who's walking in the front door for the first time and has no idea what's happening.
And you also have to take consideration, nothing against Hughes or anyone else that's coming off the practice squad. They are practice squad players. Sometimes you put them on the team because you just want to keep them around your team. Maybe you have an opportunity the following year. Hughes is kind of that guy. You have to remember that a guy that can actually play, they try to get that guy on the field immediately. So Hughes is getting his chance now because he's been activated. He's in the system. He understands the system. He's going to get some playing time. He's going to make his own bones.
He's a big guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a wide body.
So as for the receiver situation, remember, you make your own bones. You don't make mistakes. What we see and what we say in this room doesn't really matter. What a guy's doing out there on the field, what a guy's doing in practice, what the coaches know about him, they know about him. Just wanted to give him a shot because, hey, look, he's a nice guy. He worked hard. We should give him a shot. Yeah, you could be at home watching and be on the show with me because you won't have a job. You gotta get the guys on the field that are making plays and have a chance to, you know, help and support the team to get them a chance for victory.
That's how I got here. I was the first cut. They didn't even give me a chance.
It's my coaching. You know, my coaching's kind of like off, so I'm sitting over here now.
201-939-4513. Lawrence in Florida, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
No problem.
I just have a suggestion. They should take Cooper Taylor off the injured reserve, practice squad, and put him on Gronk. A big safety on him.
Why would you think that would work if Cooper Taylor can't get on the field now? Why would you take him off the practice squad and put him on the most dangerous tight end in the league? I'm curious. I want you to give me your best. I want you to think your way through this before you answer, because I'm going to try not to beat you up. I want you to think your way through it. He's on the team. They want him to play. They're doing everything they can to get him on the field. You want them to forego what they're doing now to put him out there and give him a shot. It's Gronk.
Yeah.
Okay. Gronk.
Well, okay. When they first drafted him, the advertiser, when he's big, he'll be able to stay with the guy from Dallas. And he's big, and I just figured we get a big guy in there. Then they'll sneak up on him. They'll sneak him in there, and they won't suspect it.
And then they'll keep an eye on him. Cooper Taylor is a big kid.
I can't help you with this one.
Cooper Taylor is a big kid. Cooper Taylor is a big, big athlete. They're trying to get him coached up to the spot where he can be super effective, right? But right now, he's just not there. And if you put him in the game against a guy that's going to embarrass almost 90% of the players he's playing against, I told you, if you were listening a little earlier, The way to stop Gronk is to put a guy directly over the top of him, no matter where he goes on the field. If he goes to the sideline and take a drink of water, there should be a guy standing at the sideline waiting for him to come back onto the field. That's how you stop Gronk. Like, but you can't just say, I'm not saying that you can't totally stop. You know why I'd stop him? I'll tell you right now. If you want to put a guy on him that would give Gronk a hard time, put DeMontre Moore on him. Just say, look, after 5 yards, DeMontre, put a mic and say, 5 yards, let him go. He's the same size.
Just beat him up for
the whole game. For 5 yards, you get to beat him up, DeMontre Moore. That's your job. Beat up Gronkowski, and then like
that's
after that,
idea.
you let somebody else do it. But you waste a player.
Remember when Keith Jackson was with the Eagles? Carl Banks used to do that to him.
Yeah, you just put a guy there. Hey, look, beat him up for 5 yards, and after that, let somebody else take him. That's a good idea. But then all of a sudden, Brady picks on those minions, all those little dudes out there. He's just dumping the ball all over the place. We got Edelman for 10, this guy for 10. He called the referee, threw it to him one time. He got 10. You don't know who Brady going to throw the ball to. You can't
you
do it that way.
Today,
that's not how the game works.
Thank you so much for the call. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today.
Cooper Taylor's a good-looking athlete. athlete, but that's Gronk. I don't want to play against Gronk.
And he's got that huge Barry Bonds elbow guard that he's wearing, too.
Oh, I haven't seen that part.
Oh, my goodness. Since he had that surgery two years ago.
Oh, God bless
him. It's like a robo guard on his arm. He looks like a bionic guy.
If I had
out
one of those things when I was playing, I'd been
oh,
dangerous.
Oh, boy.
Had some equipment.
I don't know. I need to be elbowed by that either.
I'd elbow you, man. I'm telling you.
All right. Jeff from Rhode Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paulie and Howard. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Very good.
That's good. Howard, that's a very interesting theory about stopping the Gronk. I guess we wouldn't have to worry about any personal foul calls on DeMontre Moore, because I don't think he'd be body slamming the Gronk to the ground. So I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think anybody's body slamming Gronk. No. I mean,
however, you know, I mean, the thing is, look, you know, this is going to be a difficult game for us. Okay, believe me, I'd feel a whole lot better, you know, if we had the defensive linemen we had in 07 and 011, because we know we'd be pressuring Brady. We know we'd be getting to him,
taking him off his mark, making him very uncomfortable.
I mean, we don't have those guys.
Almost all those guys are out of the league, so if you had all those guys back, he would still be open.
Straight hands had to come off TV.
Let's see. Tuck just went on injured reserve. Yep. JPP is back, so that's about all he got.
Osi's out of the league.
Well, the thing with Brady is he gets rid of the ball so quickly.
Yep.
You know that we know that he's going to be killing us with those passing routes underneath and whatnot, like they've been very successful with. And we've proven, the Giants' defense has proven that we can't stop those kind of plays, you know.
But another thing, if we had... Hold on for one second. Not just the Giants' defense. There ain't no.
Everybody.
Nobody's stopping them. So stop with the Giants.
Right.
There ain't no for a reason.
Oh, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, if we, I'd like our chances a little better if we had a very stout running game, which another thing that we haven't proven that we've had, you know, all the time in every game. You know, we haven't done that very substantially. We've had, two games with over 100 yards rushing. That's how you keep the ball out of Brady's hands.
You're absolutely right.
That's all common sense, you know?
The two things you need in this kind of matchup are the two things the Giants had in their past games against the Patriots. A very, very strong, potent front four pass rush, mm-hmm. which they don't have right now, and some semblance of a power running game, which they don't have right now either.
But you need those two things, and they don't have them. But the thing they have that they didn't have those times either
is
they have the explosiveness where they can score constantly. And you've seen them do it a few times this year. They can score a lot of points. So it becomes, when you're scoring and the other team's scoring, it becomes very, very, very stressful to make sure you keep up. If the Patriots don't score on the first drive and the Giants do, Patriots are like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. And then they get stopped again and the Giants go up 14, then it becomes like, I mean, are we going to be able to stop these guys? You just want to keep scoring. I mean, that's kind of how the league is right now. It's a big, big to-do about how many points you can put up.
See, Jeff, to me, this has to be like a Giants-Saints game. It's got to be a track meet where Eli's going to have to wing it around, and he's going to have to – him and Brady are going to have to keep up with each other. That, to me, is the best chance for the Giants to win this game.
I won't give it that. I won't go that far, but I will say this. I think the Giants are going to score some points. I think it's going to be one of those games where they're going to score a bunch of points.
They've got to score at least 30, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, and Brady, as great as Brady is, and Brady is great. I'm telling you, Eli's great and Brady's great. He'll have some moments where things aren't just aren't working that way.
Got to turn them over.
What you got to remember is that I don't think anybody in the league has really thought about this. When I make joke about the minions, they're the Edelman, those guys. They have a team full of slot receivers. Those guys are quick. In small spaces, they're hard to cover. So what do you do? Keep them in front of you. That's how you play against the Patriots. The problem is that Tom keeps hitting them. 5-10, 5-10, 5-10, touchdown. So he's going to go down the field like that, but you just got to make sure that it's like his 5 and 10s are basically running plays to the outside. That's what you have to kind of do to make it – because every once in a while a guy drop a ball, believe it or not. It's not because Brady wasn't perfect in the past. That guy just didn't catch it.
Jeff, we got to run, and I appreciate
I understand.
The phone call.
Just one other thing. I just hope that somebody can clean Brady's clock for him, just on one play. That would make
Jeff,
me very happy.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Call us back again sometime. By the way, Welker had a key drop in that last Super Bowl. Remember that?
Welker's not there anymore.
No, but the point is...
Those little minions make mistakes.
The point is it does happen.
Yeah, it does.
It does happen. Last caller on the show is Mike from Long Island. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going? And thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
No problem.
Okay, you know, I was just listening, and, you know, after what Howard said about Donnell, I just had to call.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Now, Howard, I know you're a tight end, and... You're a burly guy, man, and those are the kind that we need. But I want to just make a couple of points about my buddy, Donnell. Don't get me wrong. He does catch the ball very well, okay? But the guy is soft, okay?
Wow.
The so-called minions, which I'm one of them. I'm 5'7", 158 pounds.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to play ball with me when I was a young man, okay? I was a pain in the neck, okay? But here's the point. He's soft, okay? When he catches the ball... What's the yards after the catch, after he catches the ball?
60 receptions, I keep telling you guys. I love the way you guys go with the soft, and you guys got all these different ideas of what you want. I'll take any of your tough guy tight ends, put them in the league, put them on the Giants. When he's catching 20 passes, he's not effective down the middle, he's not effective on the edge, you guys will be calling for the head of the coach, the GM, and everyone. I know how it works. I listen to you guys all the time.
But Howard, you know, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, you know.
But it's
and,
true.
You know, you're the man, okay? But my question also is
his
blocking.
Look, every tight end blocks.
I'm going to make this really simple for you. I'd love to have Mark Bavaro back on this team, too.
He can't play anymore.
He's retired.
You see him walking around?
Mark's got a sore knee, and he is long retired. I'd love Bob Tucker.
I'd love Shockey. Let's do better.
I love this guy.
Let's do better.
But they're not playing.
Let's do better. Here's what we're going to do. Gronkowski, Witten.
Gates. Still pretty good.
Blocks.
He can still catch.
I didn't ask you that. Blocks.
Oh, yeah, he blocks. Gates blocks.
Okay, Gates. Give me another one.
Another really good blocking tight end?
Mm-hmm.
Let me think for a minute.
Maybe my boy in Chicago.
Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blocks.
Four.
How is Safarian Jenkins?
He's more of a catcher.
He's a receiver. Four.
Yeah.
There you go. But your view of the game is still you're caught in the 80s and 90s with me. That's your view of the game. Four guys that are actually catching the ball and blocking. Four.
Look, I'm not going to bail out on this. You know my preference is for the old school tight end.
Yeah,
I'd rather have this guy.
Seriously though,
but the game's changed. It doesn't happen that way anymore.
Beyond the four, beyond the changing of the game, there are four guys that have the ability to actually sit in there and block. And then run routes. There's four guys that will actually block and run routes.
Yeah, you know. another part of the game that I find interesting is when you have a burly tight end, Doesn't it give you the opportunity to knock out some cornerbacks, you know, because they're running with the ball after the catch, okay? Or even if you tweak them a little bit and, you know, they're hurting, they're not as effective when they're covering Odell or whoever.
That's a $15,000 fine, I think, now. It's called the assist or whatever they call it when you run down the field and the pickoff blocks and stuff.
Right.
You're not allowed to do that anymore. Those days are
No. I'm not
run.
Talking
Seriously,
about pickoff blocks. I'm talking about
you to call back
about
Dan Howard and I are back every single Thursday. And, of course,
sorry for cutting you off.
Each and every day, Monday to Friday, we have Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at 201-939-4513. Write the number down. And, again, we'll have Jeff Fiegels and, I believe, John Schmelk tomorrow answer all of your questions. For Howard Cross, I'm Baltatino. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.